Yeah, man. And the Lord shall restore the ears that the locust had eaten, the conqueror,
and the caterpillar.
And God shall restore it plentiful. Double, double for your trouble. Ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Hey!
Healthy. Good morning. God, you are so good this morning. You are so good every morning. And Lord, your words, they are life. They are alive in us. And we're alive. We're healthy. And we receive that double. Healthy and double-double, Lord. Healthy, double-double. I'll say it again, God, double-double. We are blessed in you, God. Always blessed in you, perpetually, continually, profoundly, we're blessed in you, Lord. Jesus, you asked your disciples, whom do men say that I am? And you asked them a sincere question that's got a life-impacting, eternal-impacting implication in the answer that the man and the woman of God has for that question. Who do we say, God, Jesus, you are among us? Who are you, Jesus? And they answered, and you asked again, but whom do you say? Whom do you say that I am? Lord, you have a question for us, and there's an answer, and you are You are making us. You are making us and building us up today in this world and before witnesses and those around us and the world around us. You are making us, teaching us. And there's a purpose and there's a time appointed for what you're doing in us right now, God. Help show us. Show us in our inner man, in our innermost man, Lord, what you have brought us to this time and purpose for. And let it be a blessing in this world. Let it be a blessing right now. Let your church be a mighty blessing. Let your word alive right now will perform that which you've called it out to do. You've sent it forth to do. Ted Line, thank you for being with me this morning. I must say, it's a blessing. It's such a rich blessing for me. It's an honor. It's words just don't do justice for how I view my little part in this Ted Line and Jesus Believers Church. I am blessed. I grow daily just to hear the testimonies and to see the witness and be a part of how God is blessing all of you and how God is delivering all of you and it's an honor for me, a Holy Ghost privilege for me to be a part of the whole thing that God has got going on right now here in Ted Line. It's a blessing. Ezekiel 36 in the King James, and then we'll be going on to 37. But Ezekiel 36. Also, thou son of man. Yes, ma'am.
I do not. You're going to go on with where you started, but I think we have some testimonies that you need to hear that's going to go along with your message this morning.
Okay.
So I'd like to open up 6565, and I need to tell you, Ted Line, that little Gracie, who we've been praying for, the 14-year-old that attempted to commit suicide, set up yesterday. She set up.
Praise God.
She's still critical, but she is alive. The devil did not steal her life, thanks to Brother Wes Smith, who began to call her back along with us.
Praise God.
In agreement with him, and little Gracie is alive. We have to keep praying. And then I need to open up this mic right here. Sister Arlene.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Good morning. And I have Shanika. Her name is Shanika. She's on with me on my line.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you give that testimony, the two of you?
Okay. So I'll start it out because I'm the one that contacted her. So I have been telling her about you for some time now. So just last week, you know, when you were going to be on the Omega Man show, I had sent three of my friends your link. I sent her a link. I told her, hey, I said Dr. Erica is on right now live, and then I sent another link to two other people, and then after I sent her the link though, I just felt moved to call her to make sure she got that link. So I called her, Dr. Erica. I called her and I said, hey, I said Dr. Erica is on right now. You need to get on. And she was like, okay, so she got on. So I'm in the chat. We all in the chat. And we just chatted it up. Jim was in the chat. Jessica in the chat. Everybody chatting up, you know. And I saw her leave, you know, comments in the chat. I was like, yes, she on the chat. And I saw another friend. I said, yes, she in the chat too. You know, so I'm excited that they responded. So I believe that at the point that I told them to get on is when you started to get ready to pray that prayer, Dr. Erica, and you were saying to lay your hand in, on a certain place and stuff. So that's when I think they was just in time getting on to listen, for that prayer. So I'm going to let her go ahead from here and tell you what happened. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Shanika.
Okay, so
who is it?
Shanika Galden.
What state you live in?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, go ahead.
So once I tuned in and I just I kept listening and I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if it's gonna actually help me. I don't know if it's gonna work. And I was just like, I don't know. And I don't know if that was the enemy just, you know, trying to get me to get off the line. Most likely it probably was him trying to get me to, you know, miss my miracle, because I've been trying to get healed in my thyroid for a while now. I went to the doctor and I told him that I was having problems, that I thought I was having problems with my thyroid. And he checked it out, and he said, well, yeah, you are having problems with your thyroid, but it's not bad enough for us to give you medicine for right now. So, you know, I left that day disappointed, and I still was having problems with it for about 5 to 6 years. And, you know, it was giving me a lot of problems, like mood swings, my weight fluctuating, going up and down, and just like terrible pain in my neck. And when I tuned in on the line, I heard you praying, and you said, I want you to put your hand where you feel where you need to be healed at. And I said, okay. I had something in my hand. I said, let me put this down. I gotta make sure I get this here, this blessing here. So I put it down. I put my right hand on my throat, and I just pressed down on my throat where it was two lumps on my throat. At first it started out with one, and then another one came, and then that one went away, and then another one, then the other one came back, and it was just, at this point, it got to the point where it was two lumps on my throat. And when I did that, as you were praying, I felt those lumps just getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So now today I'm sitting here and I'm pressing on my neck right now. Those lumps haven't came back. I don't think they will.
Nope.
I've been, whew, I'm about to cry. I was battling with that for a while, and I was just sitting in my room. I was just sitting in my room on my bed, and I was so frustrated, and I just didn't know what to do. And I said, I just got to figure something out, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do at this point. And then yesterday I woke up and I noticed, I looked in the mirror and I had lost weight. So that was Thursday, I believe it was Thursday when you prayed for us. And then just yesterday morning when I woke up, I looked in the mirror and I noticed that I had already lost weight just that fast. And so I just want to say thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for even caring enough to get on here and do what you do, because you know I've even had two other prophets pray for me, and they you know, they were trying to get this problem to go, and it was so stubborn to I was starting to wonder if I could even find somebody to help me. And, you know, I can now say today that I am healed.
Amen.
You need to thank a couple more people. You need to thank your sister right there.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Right there. And, You need to thank yourself too, because you didn't give up. You didn't give up. Praise God, you did not give up, and God answered your prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
He answered your prayer. And I'm going to make sure I tell Shannon too. I want you to know that God knows who you are, sister. He knows who you are. He knows where you live. Now, the other part, I don't see nobody posting in the chat room, is that, Arlene, where do you live?
I live all the way in California.
So you call from California to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
Shannon in Bali, Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in Dalton, Georgia.
And you in Dalton, Georgia.
Wow.
Yes. God love you so much. He crossed a continent for you. Well, he don't have to do nothing but just anyway. But I mean, think about that. Think about how many people. Well, I'm gonna have to say this because it's the truth. How many people got passed over? How many people got passed over you? I mean, how many people got passed over? I mean, from California, Florida, to Bali, to Dalton.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think that they got passed over because God didn't know where they live? But you had whatever level or degree of faith you were at, God heard you. God heard you. God heard you.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Jesus.
You one of those ones that can say you got healed because you, whatever your faith and Sister Arlene's faith, over faith the demons of the airwaves. Are you realizing?
Praise God.
We took over the airwaves.
My God. Yes, Dr. Lord and Dr. Erica. Jesus.
The Holy Ghost took over the airwaves from California to Jacksonville to Bali to Dalton and back to Jacksonville. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Yes, he is. And you know, that day, Dr. Erica, you was talking about the incubus and the succubus, and you was dealing just a little bit with the familiar spirits, and the reason why I was so concerned for her. And I'm not going to say anything unless she allowed me. But, you know, I was concerned because she was telling me that this spirit was still there with her and it didn't get cast out. And I was like, Dr. Erica can help you with that. You need to go to Dalton. You need to go to Dalton. You need to go see Dr. Erica. You need to get that there. She needs to help you out with that. So that's why I was so glad that she responded. So I thank God for that. I was so concerned about that. But she kept telling me that, and I was just kept telling her and my other friend, you guys, and I was dealing with my other friend last night with her, you know, because, you know, she has this, like, still dealing with the issue with her son because she lost her son, and she seemed like she's still dealing with it, and I'm like, she lived right there in Georgia, in Atlanta. I'm like, you better go see Dr. Erica. You right there.
Mm-hmm. Better go see Dr. Jesus.
Well, that's what I mean. But you got to go Dr. Erica. You're right.
I don't want to lose my taking no credit for God's work, man. You lose your anointing like that.
You're right. You know, I apologize, but I mean Dr. Jesus. But, you know, I just told him to. But, yeah, I was so concerned for her, so I'm glad she got on. And you're right when you put it like that. So I was so glad you got on, Shanika. I'm glad for your healing.
I'm glad I got on too, and thank you for, you know, telling me about her, because, you know, I didn't know about the ministry. I actually had found her some time ago on YouTube, and I just never had, I would say, enough patience to sit there and actually you know, I was just trying to get a quick fix and stuff a lot of times, so I didn't sit there and actually listen to the videos, the because she do have a lot of them on there, but I just didn't take advantage of the opportunity. So, you know, I was going to tell you thank you for, you know, caring enough and just not doing how some other people would have done, because some other people they would have said, oh no, it looked like she about to get free. Let me just go ahead and not tell her about this opportunity. So I'm very appreciative.
We
Lord
love
be
you,
to
sir.
God,
it
like Dr. Erica say.
Yeah.
What
it
say,
wasn't
Dr. Erica, I'm sorry.
It's a whole headline praying in agreement on one accord. A whole headline of believers. God, I don't know how many people, but you know the ones who be in the chat room every day, Arlene, and the ones that be in every day, that's definitely praying in agreement, overruling every negative prayer that's praying that it don't work. But Jesus is Lord. It'll always work. Because ain't no failure in Christ. So, now listen to this one.
Mm-hmm.
While we were on the deadline yesterday, oh yeah, I got to tell you, Brother Dalbert's stomach is closed up. I don't see Julia.
Oh,
yeah. She's probably tired. But Brother Dalbert's stomach is closed up. They were able to do that surgery. He went through it, coming through it, saying hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got the pictures of his stomach closed up. All the poison is out of his body completely. All the poison.
Amen.
I told little Gracie, the 14-year-old that committed suicide, is sitting up. There's one other thing I got to tell you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Michael. While we were on the TED-line yesterday, another TED-liner, whose husband had gotten healed, their son had a car wreck. While we were on the deadline, they were calling me. That was that call you may have heard in the background to tell me that he had a car wreck and that they were at the hospital and he was unresponsive. That he was unresponsive. And she was crying, and you know me with that crying, I can't take it. So I told her, shut up. You know, God ain't responding because you crying. What's wrong with you? God responds to your faith. Let's get it together.
Mm.
So while I was praying for him, and the bottom line is he became responsive. He came back.
Okay.
Did you hear what I said? No, you don't get that. He came back.
Mm.
They used unresponsive to tell her he was DEAD. He came back.
Oh,
he came back. His name is Dorian. Mm. He's only 20, 21 or 22. But after that, all his drug addict friends start calling me. His fiance called me. And I had all these 21-year-old and 22-year-old repenting and coming to Christ yesterday.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
The people in the emergency room were shocked. Now, not only did he come back, guess where he is right now?
Where?
At his house, at home.
Praise God. Jesus is my home. Thank you, God. Good.
They sent him home.
They sent him home, Lord.
They couldn't find nothing wrong with him. He said he's sore. His little
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And this was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Uh-oh.
Or a little outside of Pittsburgh. Okay. What did we come against last week in Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania Dutch powwow witchcraft.
Oh yeah, sure did.
And no, take him out. Didn't work. God brought him back.
Didn't work.
Brothers and sisters, don't you think it's not important on this deadline us being on one accord? One accord. I'm not trying to take any glory for nothing God does, but I'm boasting in what he's doing. Did I hear you say you lost some weight too?
Yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute. The Holy Ghost just brought that back. Would you tell us that again? You lost some weight as well as the lumps disappearing?
I think it was Thursday when I was on and you prayed, for everyone online, and it was yesterday morning. I looked at myself in the mirror, and that's when I noticed that I had lost weight. I had lost weight just that fast.
I almost missed that.
I lost weight. I did. I was actually having some trouble. I had gained some weight because right after I had went to like this festival here in Jacksonville, and I ate some food, and when I got back, I just felt so bad, and it's like that feeling just—it's almost like that feeling just never left me, and it's like the two lumps that I had on my neck. They were, at first it was just one, and now it was two of them. And I said, oh, man, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And I just felt bad because I had gained this weight. And I just didn't like having that weight on me. And I said, I was doing so well, like, now I got this, all of a sudden I got this weight on me just that fast, just from going to one event. And I ate from two different places, and it just seemed to just, that weight just came on me so quick. I was amazed at how fast that weight got back on me. I said, oh God, I don't know what I did, and I prayed about it. I said, I don't know if I ate something wrong at that festival or what. So I was discouraged, and I got up and I checked, because I was doing that every morning to see if I had lost that weight or not. And yesterday morning I got up and I looked and I noticed that I had lost weight. I lost weight. It was very visible, like my back area and my stomach area. That's where it was most visible at, where I lost the weight.
And that's witchcraft weight. You know that. That's, when you get that weight around the middle, the stomach, the rear, that's witchcraft weight. And I've seen it time after time after time. Yeah, somebody, when you ate that food, somebody had dressed that food, and that's what it would do. It would cause you to just, like, instantly take on this weight. But when God delivers you, see, a lot of people think that God just delivered you from one thing, and they miss out on all the other parts that he delivered too. So the Holy Spirit just brought that back. To my memory that you said that. So that means now there's an anointing flowing for healing. There's an anointing flowing. Mm-hmm. That was automatic. Okay, that was sovereign. God did that because he loved it. And but I'm always coming after witchcraft. As long as I live, I'm going to pray and break witchcraft every time I pray, because witchcraft is so horrible. It's just so horrible. Mm-hmm. So, thank you. I'm going to have young, his name is Dorian. I'm going to have Dorian, his fiance, and his some of his, wait a minute, maybe they on. Wait. Okay, can I have the number? This is Dorian's mama. What's the number? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is it 529? I think it's 529-6068. Is that the right number? But the 527. It's 527. 5-2. One 329-527-6068. Is that the right number? Blog Talk. Okay. 1-319-527-6068. Thank you, Jessica. See, I love it because so many people, you know, they, but this stuff. Okay. All right. Well, Pastor Mike, you got extra time this morning because today is the National Day of Prayer. So I was going to do another service this evening. So you could just do the service and then I won't have to do one this evening. The number didn't work. Okay, let's see. 1-319. Try that number. 1-319. She said the number, I'm probably putting it in here wrong. Let me see. Aren't you glad you're part of a move of God?
Yep.
It has nothing to do. It has everything to do about God himself. He is touching these people, his people. Mm-hmm. He is healing and delivering his people, his own people. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I'm happy.
Yeah. I'm so happy.
Let me see if this is this Miranda?
Yes, it is, Sister Erica. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. 8833. That's you?
Yes.
Where's Frank?
Where's Frank? Frank is right here with me.
Hey, Frank.
Hi.
You know, I didn't even go into Miranda. I was telling them about Dorian yesterday and Dorian's fiance and Dorian's friends calling me up. You know?
Yeah.
I'm so. These 21-year-olds, what age range are they?
They are like early 20s, all of them. There's a whole group of them.
Lord have mercy. Now, I didn't even tell the Ted line that this is the same Frank. I did mention it, that we prayed for a while back, that what kind of shape was Frank in when he first went to the hospital with that stroke?
He was bleeding in the back of his head. They had him in intensive care. His whole left side was paralyzed. He wasn't able to urinate. And you sent us the oil. And you told me as soon as you... I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I said I did.
And when you sent us the oil, I flew to the hospital. And when I got to the hospital, I called you and you directed us on how to use the oil. And you prayed for Frank because he couldn't urinate. And the minute you prayed to God, you asked God to release his urethra. And then you told me to put the oil on. Urine shot out of him. I have never seen a move like that from God in my life. Instantly. And we cried of joy. It was miraculous. And we're so thankful to you, Sarah.
Yeah. I can't remember all the things that happened during the course of a day. I never told the Ted line that story because I really didn't remember it. You know, I went on to And then they moved Frank to another hospital, right?
Right. They moved him from, he was at West Penn first, and then they moved him to Allegheny because West Penn didn't have all the technical machinery that he needed. And so they moved him to Allegheny. Then they moved him back to West Penn for physical therapy. Then they moved him to a nursing facility.
Okay. And Frank, can you tell them who you're serving today and how you doing?
Service to the Lord. And I feel great. I feel real good.
Praise God. Now, Miranda and Frank, tell them who Dorian is.
Dorian is our son. He's in his early 20s, and he has a whole group of friends, and they are like, they're like they were foster children, and they were living out on the street.
Amen. What happened to Dorian yesterday?
He was driving his car to work, and he had a car accident. The whole front end of the car was pushed up. And his friend called from his job and said he was unresponsive. And so Imani called me, and she said, Dorian had an accident, and he's unresponsive. And I was getting ready to take my mother shopping because the state of Pennsylvania was declared an emergency because of the corona virus. And so when she told us that Dorian was unresponsive, I got everybody in the car, and I flew to Monroeville, and I called you. I know I texted you first, and I couldn't reach you. And then I called. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I called you. By the time I got to the hospital, you called me back, and you prayed. We were inside the hospital, and you prayed. And I went up to the front desk, and I said, when I got there, I said, I'm here to see Dorian Jones. And it was the wrong hospital. I had went to the wrong hospital in Monroeville. So I went to the other hospital. And when I got to the other hospital, I went up to the front desk. We were all in a panic state. And I went up to the front desk, and the lady said, oh, he's up talking. And so in between that time, I think you had called me, and I was hysterical. I was flying through red lights just to get to our son Dorian, and the grandbaby, his little daughter, she was just peaceful. She wasn't panicky. My mother was there. She had her right hand up listening. And you said, Dr. Erica, you called, and I was hysterical on the phone, and I was crying and screaming, and I never had anyone talk to me, but you said, what moves God? Crying doesn't move God. Well, stop crying. Crying don't move God. Emotions don't move God. And I said, okay. And I stopped. You have changed me, Frank, and my whole family into the people that God wants us to be.
Praise God.
And so Imani was right there, and I told her to text you. Mm-hmm. And his friend, they're kind of out into the world. They know God, they love God, but they do some dangerous things in their lives. They're
mm-hmm.
suicidal, and they're into everything that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her to text you, and I don't believe it because she don't listen. She texts you, and you prayed for her, and you talked to her, and she went into the bathroom to do all that so she could have privacy at the hospital. And I said, call her back tonight. And usually when I say call her back tonight, what a minister, they never do. But she said she did call you back. And so I gave all his friends your number for the TED line so that they can start praying, so they can, these are young people, so they can stop, you know, with the drugs and the smoking and the drinking. To drinking and to killing themselves. They want
mm-hmm.
they want to do suicide. They all want to kill themselves at one state point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just glad that they have got you in this headline in their life today, because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to see none of them take overdoses of pills because they can't handle the world.
Mm-hmm. When I tell you about that crime, when I tell you about that crime.
Safe.
I'm
not gonna cry. And it's something that has to be learned because we're so used to being emotional. So we're so used to just crying and showing emotion, and that's what the enemy wants. He wants to kill us, steal us, and take all our joy and destroy us.
We don't care what he wants.
That's right, Frank. Ain't that right?
That's right.
But we're learning. Sister Erica, we're learning that it's the Word of God.
She right there. Yeah, but we don't care about you.
Praise God. I'm glad I woke you up. Did I wake you up? Did I wake you up or were you on the island?
God woke us up because we was knocked out. The Holy Spirit woke us up.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank y'all. Thank all of you for those testimonies. And I would like to see Juliet, if she's on here, so she could tell about Dow, and then we can get back into this morning's teaching. Man, Juliet, I'm waiting for you to dial in the blog talk, if you don't mind. You know, you know, 8262. Juliet, I'm looking for you. Brothers and sisters, there's nobody that can do anything for us greater than Jesus.
Amen.
And if he never done anything else, he's done a whole lot on that cross for us. But you know what? There's so much more. Now, see, I wanted to do two services today. I did, because it's the National Day of Prayer. And look how God did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What song just say double double?
Double double.
Double double.
I love that song. I love that song.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And that's
wow.
not the that's Michael Reeves, but he's my favorite singer. Juliet, there you are.
Good morning.
God. Good morning.
Praise God.
You give Dow's testimony for me.
Excuse me, I cut off a little bit. Sorry.
Okay. Are you on there now?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, my phone was cutting off a little bit. Good morning, everybody. God bless you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is your phone not working right?
Yes, I'm here. I'm standing in a little corner, so it doesn't. The signal is okay now. I'm standing in a little corner. Yes. Good morning. You want me to share about the last news of my brother?
Yes, please.
Okay, sorry. I wake up a little bit late today. My brother has to go to, the doctor says he's fine, he's well, he's healed, but his skin needs to heal now because they did allow around nine procedures in the last 10, 11 days. So he's in a lot of pain, and he was a little bit disappointed. The only thing, every time they take him out of surgery, he's like, please, hold on to Erica. Tell him that I'm healed. I need to get out of here. And he's just crying because he's in pain. Even the painkiller is not working that well for him. But yesterday they did two. So yesterday, as soon as he get out and was out of the anesthesia, he said, take a picture, send to Dr. Erica. I'm lifting up my leg. I praise God, I lifted up my leg. And you have to remember, he got a cut from his chest on top of his, after his belly button. So he has been open for almost 11 days. Mm-hmm. And he's in a lot of pain. And last night he went to another one. And they put, in the afternoon, they put something in his stomach so it can be drained. Because the doctor said there's something not allowed him to close. And I, okay. in my, I'm quiet. I don't say anything to the doctor, but I said, Dr. Erica says it's not going to be closed until God take all the poison from his body. I truly believe, like Dr. Erica says, it's not only a physical healing, it's a spiritual healing, emotional healing, everything. Because I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Dr. Erica. My brother was addicted to drugs, and I know he's in pain because of the surgeries. But also, I believe it's the withdrawal of the drugs that make him have all these panic attacks. So God is doing supernatural healing in every single area. That I'm believing, because it's like 2 weeks without drugs, and he's just, you know, manifesting all these things. Of course, the only thing that comes out of his mouth is Jesus right now. But still, he got to go through the pain of everything. So yesterday, Dr. Erica kindly leave a message to him. And that message, Dr. Erica, I didn't share with you last night, but he was like, thank God, praise God. Okay, I'm going to go through the pain. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to go through the pain. And the doctor is like, what are you talking about? He said, I got to go through this pain. I'm going to cooperate with God. And that's where we are. Last night, the doctor, they put something for him to sleep because he was not sleeping. And that's where they said in three days, after the healing comes of the skin, then they will close him completely. He's closed. Partial. They were closing completely.
Okay.
So, praise God. We still the miracles. Yes.
Yeah. You got to pray for a complete closure now. I guess, the Lord got all the poison out. All that poison had to come out. And even the poison from the drug addiction. Okay?
Yes.
And the reason he has such a high tolerance for pain is because he was an addict.
Yes.
So now
he's feeling
everything for the very first time. He ain't felt no pain in years because the drugs would just knock it out. But anyway, God is healing him, restoring him, and going to turn him into a preacher. Amen.
Hallelujah. He is a preacher. He is a preacher.
Yes.
You know what, Dr. Erica? I don't know if I mentioned this. He backslid, of course, but for 30 years, I have heard many testimonies of the people, Lord forgive me, the people that were in pain, that choose to cope with drugs. I'm going to call like that better. And, you know, they make wrong decisions because of the pain, and they become who they become. The enemy just was there to place a plate for them to feed in the wrong way. And one of the men, one time I sent a Bible to my brother, and I spent a lot of money because I thought that this time he's working with God. And he said, what a beautiful Bible. I sent the Bible and spent a lot of money overnight. And I said to him, okay, let's do Bible study on the phone. He said, oh, I lost my Bible. I said, what? How? In one night? Yes. And he said, tell me the truth. What did you do with that Bible? I was just upset with him. He said, well, I need a drug, and I went to this place, and they received it instead of drug. And I said, are you kidding me? I spent almost $100 because the Bible plus the, you know, delivery is over there. And he said, I give you the number of the man. You talk to him, because I told him I'm going to come and pay for the Bible. I said, I'm not sending money to you. So I called the man, and the man, it was like already like a month and a half ago. I called the man, and I said to the man, oh, you know what? I'm Juliet Hooker, Albert Hooker brother. He took the Bible and, you know, you sent this drug to him. I need the Bible back. My brother said, you don't want to give it back. He came with the money. And he said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not giving this Bible. I read everything you wrote to your brother. I did the senior the salvation prayer, every prayer. No. I'm living this life of drugs. I have been selling drugs for 30 years. I'm not. This is my treasure. And I said, but listen, you don't. I spent $100. Please, it's not about what I spent. This is an initiative for my brother. He said, lady, I'm going to hang up the phone of you. Don't call me anymore. This Bible was my saving place. And I said, what are you talking about? This says Dalbert Hooker. And he said, I erased his number and I put my name. And I said, well, you know, you're stealing. And he said, no, he exchanged. He lost his blessing. And this is my blessing. I read my Bible, and now I'm going to recuperate my family because I have been bad. And he said to me, I've been selling drugs. I've been just in the street, ruining people. I'm just praying that God forgive me for every bad thing I did. At that moment, I said to the man, you know what? You're right. The word of God says that there were two twin brothers, and he sell his, I don't know how to say that in English, primogenitura, for a lentil plate of soup. And that's what my brother did. And he said, no, he did worse, because lentil soup is good for your body. Your brother just didn't care about what God was giving, this treasure. And I said, you're absolutely right. He took for granted the grace of God. And he said, yes, but you know what? I would pray for your brother. And that was like 15 years ago. And my brother, everything, like people around him, he's dying. He's going through all these things. And at the end, people got getting saved through whatever. He got an anointing when he speaks. I guess the word of God says the gifts are irrevocable. But in my head, I'm like, Lord, what is going on? There was a lady when he was speak to, and my friend let him stay in his hotel, and he said, we have to make prayer meeting here. You're going to pay this way. You're going to pray for people. He prayed for people. People are getting saved and healed, and he went back to the street. So I don't understand that. I don't understand that.
I understand that. That's what that is.
Yeah.
But he's a preacher. He's ready now. He's ready. Look, y'all, let's get prepared for Pastor Michael's message right after this song right here. Again, the next voice you hear be that of Pastor Michael Vasica.
Okay.
Yeah, man. And the Lord shall restore the ears that the locust had eaten, the conqueror. and the caterpillar, and God shall restore it plentiful. Double, double for your trouble. Ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Hey!
Jump!
God. Brothers and sisters, there is really something to be said about a testimony that it cannot be understated or said enough that there's things that a testimony will do. There's such power in the spoken testimony when you share what you receive from God. It's so powerful. There are people the differences in the generations today is that, you know, it was said earlier that when you go to hear, a 1-hour message on YouTube, there's just certain people that just don't have, they're not in that place yet where they can sit and have the patience to hear the whole thing out. But when they sit, or when they get a phone call, they sit with somebody and they hear a testimony in real time and how somebody was going through something and what happened to them and what God did in their life and the power of Jesus. There's something about that testimony, brothers and sisters, that angels stand by, that we have a cloud of witnesses. People are watching and hearing and listening as we share the powerful move of God in our life. And that witness, that testimony, does something so powerful and impacting that it can reach across a nation. It can reach across generations. It can reach across cultural and divides that normally there are barriers. But with God, the barriers are brought down. And I want to bring your attention to Ezekiel 37. There, God is speaking to Ezekiel, ironically, about the devastation in the nation that's come about because of sin and wickedness and generations upon generations of disobedience and offenses to God, that the people find themselves in a state of emergency. They find themselves afflicted with imprisonment and bondage and servitude to a pagan nation, and many of them are separated. There are separations in families, and there's no longer a nation. They're scattered people. They're broken people, cut off. And it's because of the consequences of transgressions and iniquities that this has happened to them. And God's talking to Ezekiel, and he's telling them, talking to them, him, about their state of emergency. So in Ezekiel 37, we're going to go through 1 through 14. God is so good. The word says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, this wasn't just any miracle. This was prophetic. So the amazing thing that's going on here is that, you know, bones are dead, they're dried, you know, they're what use is there? But God, using the prophet, speaking to the bones, miraculously they came together, flesh came on them, they became whole again, but there was no life in them. So here comes a second miracle. God tells the prophet, prophesy to the wind. And the wind and the breath comes back into these bodies. So now there's an army of bodies. Breath come into them. They're alive. And then here's another miracle. God says, I'm going to open up your graves. I'm going to open your graves. And you're going to know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Now the world is, bless your heart, this world is just trying to recover, and they need help. The world needs help. There's states of emergency declared, and yet the condition is there's need. It's a state of emergency. But God used this prophet to declare, to prophesy, to speak. You know, we speak of the abundance of our heart, don't we? Matthew 16, 10 through 20 says, and he, Jesus, called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Because remember, he said, hear and understand. Hear and understand. And here's Peter, verse 17, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Proverbs 4 says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Again, hear and understand, like Jesus said. Verse 2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments, and what? Live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So shall she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. Look at this. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be strained. Thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, why should we keep the words, the instructions? Why should we keep this wisdom that comes from God in our hearts? First of all, God's telling us to. But, you know, the reason really why is directly revealed and explained in verse 22. Because his words are alive. His words are life-making. They make alive. They are health to your flesh. Our body's health comes from his words. Our nourishment comes from his words. Dare I say this? Dare I say these words right here that his words are our life and our health? Because saying something like that could be wildly offensive. That could be controversial in our current times. To say, look to Jesus for your health and for your nourishment, for your sustenance, for your provision. When I speak the words of God, and when you speak the words of God, and in saying that his words are spirit and life, people are hearing that. Our testimony goes into ears, and when they're going into ears, they're going into hearts. John 6:63 says the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Jesus says the Spirit gives life. The words that Jesus spoke, he said, I have spoken. To you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Not just are the words of God life and alive, but they are spiritual. They are spirit. This means that the words, they go places where physicalities have limits, where time and space has limits, but the spirit of the words goes into a spirit realm. They go into spiritual places like people's hearts. They break up the darkness of doubt, unbelief, and loneliness, discouragement, hopelessness. And these words of life, they bust up all those dark lies and they bring life. They open up graves. Brothers and sisters, these words open up graves. They're not just words. They're God's Spirit. The flesh doesn't give life. It is the Spirit. In Matthew 12:34 and Luke 6:45, Jesus clearly says that out of the abundance, or out of the treasure of the heart, the mouth speaks. We've been hearing a lot about treasures. Gems, jewels, precious things. You know, to hear one person to hear, hey, there's something going on over here. You, you need to try this. Just try, call. Listen, hear what's going on. That moment, that shared word is a treasure, is a gem in somebody's life that they're gonna turn around and cherish because of what God did for them when they were told, when prophecy was spoken and the word of life was shared, the word of God was shared, that treasure, that diamond and jewel and ruby and emeralds, those treasures are cherished. They're life-giving words of God. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 10:12 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. A well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Jesus was telling us about this. Hear and understand, he was telling his disciples in verse 12, 9 and 12. He said, this is the grace of God placed upon us and delivered us a crown of life. Crown of life. Isaiah 38, 11 through 19. Watch this. These words sound as if they're coming from a person who thinks they're about to die. And this is timely. Isaiah 38, 11 through 19. It says, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Here it comes. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living. That's double-double. The living. He shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. You see, Romans 8:6 says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the words of the prophet Ezekiel tell us a lot about the power of God. And, you know, because he received that rhema word, that right now word from God. It was spoken word from God, and he obeyed something that was unusual. Walking around looking at this area full of bones, speaking to them. But when he obeyed, when he spoke, when he prophesied the words of life, the spirit of life gave life. He was not somebody, you know, reading Psalms years and years and years after they were written and then living out what the Psalms were saying. He was doing a right now work, an obedient right now act of faith, and spoke what God told him to speak. He spoke life, prophesied. No doubt this was a strange thing, a hard thing for a man to believe enough to obey him and follow through with it. But Ezekiel did it. The words of God, they're life. They're life-giving. They're alive. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's a lot in that. That is full of power right there. In the Amplified, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, there's a note there. In addition to the word sword, the word in Greek was used for the knife used by the priest to do the sacrificial offerings. And that same word is also used for the knife or the scalpel used by a surgeon. Isaiah 38:15-16. "What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it." Right? God spoken and God done. "O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live." This is, we are in God. We are in him. Matthew 4:4. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Same thing in Luke 4:4. Jesus answered and said, him saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of God." Acts 17:28. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." And God's doing a new thing today. He's doing a living new thing today. See, God's not restricted to calendars. He's not restricted to routines or rituals or, you know, 2,000 miles between people he's using. He's not restricted to the social differences between his people or the financial status of different believers of God. He's not restricted to that. God works without limit. God works in newness of life. He's doing new things, and he's bringing to life things that were broken down. He's bringing life to things that were dead. He's opening up things that contain death, that are holding down the bones of people. God is opening up graves. Isaiah 43:1-21. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Does God know you? Does God know your name? He knows exactly what your name is. He knows exactly where you are. Verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. He says, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, in rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So the question to Ezekiel, God said, can these bones live? It was a hard one. Really, when you think about it, it's a hard one. Because it's so profound. It's so deep. But when we are asked the same question in principle by God in our appointed time, will we be found faithful enough to see the answer? Remember, fear is a lie. And fear is a spirit. God didn't give that to us. But we can be ready. And we are ready with excitement, with expectation to see God work. God work the answer for this challenging question when we are faced with it. Right? Like last week when I read to you about the standoff with the prophets, the false prophets, and the priests of Baal, Elijah met them on Mount Carmel. And there was a question. There was a challenge. It was a hard one. He said, choose this day who you serve. Now, if Baal be God, then serve him. But if the Lord be God, then serve him. And the question God asked Ezekiel was, can these bones live? Now, after hard questions from God, don't you know there's going to be something awesome? God asks these questions of people, and after these questions come awesome things. Awesome things. God still works today. Jesus will deliver today, tomorrow. Miracles, mighty moves of God came after these questions that we read about. Mighty moves of God. Prophetic. I mean, it's not just enough to see the bones come back together and flesh and tissue and skin cover them and the bodies be made whole, but then the breath came into them. And then a prophecy that God's going to open graves. God's not limited to Ezekiel's time. He's not limited to Elijah's time. God's here now, and he's going to do a new thing. And you can know, you can expect, you can know and understand, like Jesus said, know and understand Get it in your heart. Get it in your inner man. God is doing a new thing with you. With you. Daniel 11:32. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You're witnesses. You're witnesses. And this is a time when they've declared states of emergency. Okay. The people of God, we declare a state of miracles because we're declaring the kingdom of God is at hand. Christ in you, that's a state of miracles. Jesus Christ in you, the living word of God in you, is a state of miracles. And I declare a state of miracles for our communities, for our families, for our bodies, for our states, our nations, for this world. I declare a state of miracles in Jesus' name. No witchcraft, no conjured up lies, no demonic missions can prevail against the church of God. They are cast down, shattered in pieces. They are utterly found devastated, confused, and confounded. Their powers are brought to zero in Jesus' name. Bodies are being healed. Organs are being renewed and replaced, and minds are being set free and loosed. People are being filled with God's Spirit. Miracles are happening. Families are being brought back together. Homes are being saved from devastation. Nations are going to come to see that God is alive and well, that He, the Lord God, did it, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the state of miracles we are in. And if you, the Tedline, agree, say amen, because this is what God's appointed time prophesied for our time is, to be in Jesus. State of miracles begin to show up all around us. Fire on the water, cancer being cast out and removed, and bodies being healed, people, relatives coming out from under the cloak of darkness, this covering of poverty and wandering. They're going to come back to your families, and those people who their age was limiting them and their health was limiting them, they're going to be set free and loose. Graves are going to be opened up in Jesus' name. The state of miracles that we're in Jesus' name, that's what we're in. I'd like to call this message this morning the state of miracles. We're in the state of miracles in Jesus' name. God bless you, Tedline. Keep believing. You are Jesus believers. You are warriors, Jesus believers, in every place that you're at. No distance, no time, nothing can separate you. Nothing can hinder God. In Jesus' name, God bless you. God bless you. We will see you in the morning if God say the same.
Lord, there is none like you, all of my days. your mighty love. Bless your name, Jesus.